Book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall not break, and a smoking flax shall not he quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring up prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages the Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you blessed all of us here to stand in your congregation. We thank you, Lord, that you showed mercy to all of us, that we can sing, utter the words from the abundance of the heart, with whatever the best that we could offer in thy presence to glorify your name, in your strength, by the leading of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us to feel that we are something. We are the part of the word that you are fulfilling in all our lives. And Lord, we surrender our heart, our mind, as we gather here as one body of Christ, the bride, the family of God, the servants, the saints, the kings unto God, the royal priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone, the stones of death which receive the life from the solid rock, the fountain of life. Thank you, Lord, for quickening all of us into those lively stones. We bless your holy name, O Lord. May you teach all of us and guide us and lead us in the way of holiness, where no beast can enter, no flesh can walk, which is reserved, shielded, protected for the remnants, for the redeemed alone to walk. Bless us, O Lord, not to go to the right or the left from the narrow path, but to stand firm, steadfast, immovable, from the place where you planted all of us to be the trees of righteousness, fed by the sweet river as we grow in thy faith. Lord, guide us, Lord. Bless us And Lord, bless us, O Lord, that we receive thy grace to serve you. That we receive thy grace to continue to press on. And to be the lighthouse set upon the hill to shine light as the Lord leads, according to your will and your pleasure. We surrender everything in your mighty hands. May you bless us and move in the midst of us and fill the house with your presence, O Lord, and fill all of us with your love. We ask all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom. Greetings to you all, overseas brethren. We thank the Lord for the wonderful worship today. Last Sunday, we started this sermon on how the Lord deals people whom sit upon the wall, whom are trying to invade the city, trying to attack, mock, and discourage the children of God who are safely kept inside the wall. So there are those who are outside the wall, which are called as enemies in the Bible, the enemies who do not know the Lord, who do not worship God, and who do not have the same faith, to whom the truth is not revealed, but the Lord allowed them to go near to the wall and mock at his people, for the Lord wants them to exercise their faith and to show the Lord what they learned. Amen. As we read in Proverbs, our strength will be uncovered at the time of adversary. Chapter 24. So the Lord allows adversary to exist for that to work together for good to those who hold on to him, the Almighty. Adversary cannot stand against Almighty. Amen. But why the Lord allows his children to be despised, mocked, attacked, hurt, even to the extent they could get killed. But the Bible says, you will never be broken. You cannot be destroyed. So there are two sides of breaking, destroying. On the other side, we have the covenant with the Lord, the new covenant. And the Lord said, promised all of us that he would never break his covenant. Amen. But he called all of us, in a sarcastic way, truth breakers. If you remember, in the scripture, from the Old Testament, even until the letters written by Paul to the churches, that breaking the covenant, oath breakers, truth breakers, the attitude, the nature of flesh, the carnality, is keep on reminded by the Lord, be careful of what you do to me. Whenever we break the covenant that the Lord has blessed us with, we profane his name. Because he did not give his covenant to everyone. Amen. So when he blessed us and called all of us my child, then we receive it when we are good, then we drop it when we turn to the wicked ways. So inside the wall, outside the wall, upon the wall, and those who built the wall, the Lord is showing how he sees. When the Lord told Samuel and also Ananias, he told them, I do not see the way you see. For men look at the outward appearance. Whatever they can see, they can process, they can measure. The Bible says the Lord cannot see the way flesh can see, for he is spirit. Amen. God is spirit. So the Lord sees the deepest intentions. What is the true intention of why, what, how, when, where, whatever you do, he will just go to the very foundation of the reason, the root cause, the thought that blessed you or cursed you to do this. So by grace of God, we meditated on some few names, very important names. King Hezekiah faced a wonderful training, I would say. For the enemies, they were teasing him, mocking him, But for King Hezekiah, it was a training allowed by the Lord for him to be stronger, wiser, and to exercise his faith and to show the whole world that God is in him. It's not that he believed in God. It's not that he trusts God. But the Lord blessed him to show them he was in him. The army of King Sennacherib was not touched or even attacked by the army of King Hezekiah. The angel of the Lord smote them and destroyed all. But the king, the angel of the Lord, left him. Because the Lord said, I will turn his reproach upon his own head. So the great king Sennacherib was killed by his two sons. Just by his two sons. It doesn't matter whether he had Rabshakeh. It doesn't matter whether he was able to rule all the kingdoms. It doesn't matter whether he was able to invade and have dominion on those kingdoms who followed different heathen gods, but he stepped into a territory, a dangerous one, without knowing whom he is up against. But there is something beautiful. King Hezekiah was praying to the Lord, not for the Lord to protect him or save him or to destroy the enemy, but to proclaim his faith, how much he trusts in him. And he told the Lord, Lord, your name is reproached by these, and they do not believe in you. They want to take over your city. But when the Lord dealt with them, he did not tell them, oh, I'm destroying you because you profaned my name. I'm destroying you because you spoke something evil against me. No. The Lord spoke some words that unfolds why he destroyed them. Let's read that. Isaiah chapter 36. We skip these three verses to be read today. Chapter 36. Verse 29 onwards. Chapter 37, verse 29. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, not when they were shouting or screaming, but when King Hezekiah prayed unto him. Amen. When Rabshakeh went near to the wall, he was telling those three, Eliakim and other two, I come to speak about those who sit on the wall, and they eat their own dung and you drink their own piss with you. He insulted the three along with those who sat upon the wall. Amen. Now, the Lord says, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back the way by which thou camest. Verse 30, he continues to speak through his vessel, Prophet Isaiah, and this shall be a sign unto thee. You see, this shall be a sign unto thee. If there was no story of city of Jericho, what sign we would be praying upon, meditating upon, or learning from? Every single destruction God had performed in the Old Testament was meant to be a sign for generations to learn who he is and to see the love that he had for you and me. The love of God was not limited or contained for those people who existed at that point of time. Amen. He sees things throughout generations. That is why whenever he gave promise to Abraham, Noah, David, he always used the word forever, forever. He is not dealing with them alone. For our eyes, we see, oh, baby, child, boy, man, adult, grandfather, or died. We can only see this growth because our mind is limited to time. But for the Lord, was, is, forever. Amen. Same yesterday, today, forever. He was, he is, he will always will be. So for him, it's not like three stages. It's one. For him, it's all in his complete, perfect will. Anything that is outside his will never, ever go through what is about to come. Whatever that he had purposed in his heart, that perfect will come to pass. Amen. But the Bible says the wrath of God is also his perfect will.
the anger of the Lord is also under his perfect will. For he must separate. Amen. He must separate. That is who he is. I am holy, I am alone, the Lord says. Now let's read this. Verse 30. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year, such as groweth of itself, and the second year, that which springeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap, and plant vineyard, and eat the fruit thereof. So now the Lord unfolds a sequence. Year 1, year 2, and year 3. But he starts by saying, this shall be a sign unto thee. Verse 31, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you see what the Lord is saying here? And the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. A fall and a rise. Death and resurrection. Casting away and gathering again. Scattered and gathered again. Fell, rise. Darkness, light. The way the Lord dealt even his children, he allowed them to fall, then they bounced back to a higher ground even before. Even when we learn from how the Lord swallowed up death, as we read in the Bible, he died, descended, then ascended. Amen? The resurrection, death, descension, ascension, the power of resurrection is why you and me, we are sitting here speaking of his goodness, because the Lord quickened us. Amen? The last Adam quickened our spirit to receive him. 32, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Who do this? Not man, not woman, not the armed man, not the priest, not the prophet, not the king, not the people. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Phinehas, one important character who was widely misunderstood by so-called Christians. Moses was there, Aaron was there, Eleazar was there, but still the Lord used Phinehas to put an end to the plague. Amen? How many died? 24,000 died. But the Lord stopped it? No, he still plagued them after that. But when he said, I did not consume Israel for the zeal of Phinehas. Now read this again. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. From where Phinehas got the zeal? By himself? By his faith? By his strength? By his wisdom? By his knowledge? He is like the third generation from Aaron, Moses, Eleazar, his son of Eleazar, right? The Bible says the Lord looks at the vessels, those who yield to him completely with perfect submission without wavering from the faith that he has left them, and he used the vessel to fill his goodness. Without the zeal of the Lord, Phinehas couldn't have put an end to what the plague was going to come. But the Lord said, I bless Israel for the zeal of Phinehas. Amen? But there is no name, no flesh can boast in what the Lord is doing. For he is all in all. The zeal of the Lord of hosts doing this. Not men, not the big corporation, not the planned strategy what the human mind can make, but the zeal of the Lord of hosts can do this. Then where the wrath of the Lord stands? Do you see? Zeal of the Lord, the love of God, and the wrath of God, and we say, oh, the peace of God. Everything of God, of God. Why the Lord has allowed us to experience who he is by giving us the portion of the blessedness that we all can embrace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. It did, it is doing, it shall do this. The zeal of the Lord. So, these are the three verses spoken, but King Hezekiah never asked for it. He didn't ask for any promise. He didn't ask for any blessing. He just declared his faith. He uttered the words of life. And the Lord was speaking what he is going to do. But he blessed King Hezekiah and the people for his name's sake. And he told them, for my zeal's sake, I shall do this. And after that, we read last Sunday what happened after that. Verse 36, the angel of the Lord went forth. Amen? Went forth. Verse 32, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. Amen? You see, out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. From the presence of God, a fire went forth. From the presence of God, angel went forth. From the word of the Lord, life bring forth. Amen? Now you see, the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Now let's remember what Rabshakeh said. When he said, I can give you 2,000 horse, but do you have men to ride the horses? Remember his speech? 2,000. And the Lord gave him another number. 185,000 were smote by the angel of the Lord. So King Sennacherib departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. This is the outcome or consequence of King Sennacherib, who went against the people of God. But in these two chapters, you would not see the word abomination. You would not see the word they betrayed God. They don't know God. It's clearly written, King Sennacherib was worshipping Nisroch, some other god, some heathen god. And the Lord did not let his servants to raise a single weapon or to release a single arrow outside the wall. Amen? He did not. He confounded them. He finished that part outside the wall done. Now let's remember this. King Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, King Hezekiah, and the three the Lord allowed to be there. Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, Shebna, the scribe, and Joha, the Asaph's son, the recorder. Amen? So these are the names that we see in these two chapters. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 13.
But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Were they completed in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burnt? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as thunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together,
Amen.
Up to half this height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Verse 9, Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And the adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst, and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, from wherever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower part of the walls at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, with their spears, and their bows.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Chapter 4 begins a new test, a new challenge for those who are chosen, ordained by the Lord to complete a particular task for Him. Amen. Chapter 4 begins with the same pattern as Isaiah chapter 36. Same pattern. Something is going to come against those who are building the wall. The wall is not built yet. This is a bit different than what King Hezekiah faced. He had people sitting upon the wall, and those they saw someone is coming. Watchmen always warn the kingdom inside, and King Hezekiah sent 3 over the house, Eliakim, and all those 3 messengers or those who were sent to represent the king and the city, they faced Rabshakeh. Amen? So now you just remember the names. King Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, sent by King Sennacherib. Hezekiah faced them through those 3 from his house, or from his side, those who are on the side of the Lord. And the Lord dealt them differently, in a way that the 2 sons, they kill the father. Right? The Lord break the yoke. And before the king was killed by their own 6 own sons, the Lord destroyed the army by the angel. Amen? The angel smote everything. Now, before this and after this, you could see there is a great change in the life of King Hezekiah and those who are with him. So the Lord preserved them, for they went against them. The wall was built, city was established, and the adversary was focusing on those who were sitting upon the wall and mocking them, teasing them, insulting them. But the 3 sent by the king, they had an instruction to obey, which is, do not give an answer. Amen? Don't give any answer. Don't say a word. So they obeyed. They did not tear down their claws, or they did not rent their claws before the enemy. The Bible says they went to the family of God, and when they saw King Hezekiah, they came with their clothes rent. And the actions taken by those people, with the counsel of such a godly influence in their life, they simply went to pray. They changed their garments, put on sackcloth, and they spread everything before the Lord and they prayed. Only after that, Rabshakeh, he started uncovering his nakedness, going straight to the point, don't believe your God, he will deceive you. The iniquity was filled. Then after that, King Hezekiah received a letter, it was confirmed officially. Then after that, King Hezekiah didn't take any action. The Lord did everything that is good for his family, which he confirmed in verse 31-32, the promise of the remnant. Amen? But he didn't punish them or destroy them by telling, how dare you to tell me that they can't trust me? Do you tell me that they can't trust me because I deceived? The Lord didn't speak any of that. He won't waste his time with noise-making generation. He has allowed these things to come to pass for his children to be able to understand who they are by themselves. Then they will realize who they are in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be yourself, still say praise the Lord, worship the Lord. When we are ourselves, when the Lord break that yoke, smote your head, shake the foundation,
we will drop everything that we believe in our mind and we will run away from Him. When we are not ourselves, when we believe that we are nothing without Him, then you are yourself in Him. He is Himself in Him. She is herself in Him. When that happens, you know the only thing the Lord wants you to do is pray and trust Him that He is your God. Because we are called to fear Him. There is no other spirit of fear given to the children of God. Only one, and that is fear of God. Amen? That fear of God separates who are faithful to Him, who are holding on to some other faith. Now, in this, a messenger, a king, sent. A king, three messengers, but they were not touched or killed by those who were speaking a lot. Now, let's come to the book of Nehemiah. This is a big difference how the Lord dealt this situation. Because the wall is not built yet. Verse 1 says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Wrath, fiery indignation are the attributes of God's wrath. The wrath of man worketh not to righteousness. Amen? Sometimes, you know, when you see people who are so to themselves, even the world famous leader who feels so powerful, when they say, I'm very angry, what you will do? What your wrath can do? To scold people, to scream people, to kill people, that's the best we can do? What if God decides to show His wrath? What if? The Bible asks a question to all of us, right? What if God had purpose to show His wrath? We can't stand, amen? But what men say? Don't make me angry. You don't want me to see angry. Try. What will you do? What can we do? What is the best we can do? Either we kill ourselves, or we kill someone, we hurt ourselves, or we hurt someone, or we destroy something, or we destroy ourselves. There is no life when men get angry. There is only death. There is no life when the creation of God does something that is His. Anger belongs to Him. Judgment belongs to Him. Vengeance belongs to Him. For the Lord is mighty in battle. And He showed it. The angel of the Lord went to the battle, told Hezekiah, rest, chill, have food, enjoy, sleep well, pray well, just be happy. Let me settle this. They were not killed by King Hezekiah. The mighty servant of God, David, who killed Goliath, fell to Bathsheba. Have you thought about it? Who was able to kill the mighty soldier Goliath, he fell to Bathsheba, who was taking part very far away from his kingdom. A young, strong, faithful servant who was able to stand against an entire army fell to a single woman. So, what is our strength? The name of the Lord is strong tower. Those who are under the tower, inside the tower, they are strong. Because He is strong. Everything else, technically, it has no room to say, I am strong. This metal is strong. This building is strong. He will show what is strong. He will make everything into plain. It is Christ in me. I can't see myself. That is the perfection we are moving to. Amen? Or else how can we conform to His image? Because He is so beautiful. He is so beautiful that pen cannot write. Eyes cannot see. He is here. His beauty can be revealed to those who can close their eyes and study and receive His word. You see how beautiful He is. I'll ask you a question. You all have loved ones in your family, right? Your child, your parents, your brother, your best friend. You love them. When someone asks you why you love them, you can't describe. You will take a moment. Because He had some impact in your life, correct? He did something that pierced your heart. And he or she managed to hold a place in your heart by doing some goodness to you, by showing His love, by sacrificing His time, His efforts. He went out of His comfort zone to do something for you, and He won you. He won over your mind. He or she, your father, your brother, your son, name whoever it is. So when you say, I want to be like Him, what will you say? I want to have His long nose or this thick eyebrows and long hair. I want to be tall like him. No. You would say, I want to be like him. The goodness by which he touched me. The love and mercy which I received by God's grace through him, through her. So when you say, I want to be like him, you want to do or live or behave like him. That is the conformant that the Lord wants us to do. Conform to the image of God. His image is here. Drawn by God. Scribbled by men. Yes, there are some translation errors. Forget it. Who care about translation error? The Holy Spirit will teach you. If you know whom you serve. His face is drawn throughout the Bible. We can see him. He was a visible presence of God that we read in all the chapters. One of my friends asked me many years ago, do you think that Jesus Christ was speaking to Moses in tabernacle? Do you think that was it Jesus to speak to Adam and all those people in the wilderness? You see, people, they want to standardize their understanding and limit God's almighty attributes to their little small vessel. Let's be very honest. The Bible has warned us, the greatness of God cannot be measured. Period. He dwells in an unapproachable light. Case closed. But whatever he has showed us, whatever he has revealed to us, it is so beautiful, still we can't learn much. He can still show excellence way. Correct? As we worship the Lord, he was honored, exalted, glorified by his servant with different names throughout time. Amen? Different names. Every time the Lord was called by his children, a name was given to him to glorify him, to honor what he did to them at that time, at that place. Amen? Now the Lord is saving all of us, the Savior, Yeshua. But what the book of Revelation says, no one knows his name. Chapter 19, verse 12. Then why the Lord gave his name to all of us? Which name that we are holding, serving, and telling the Lord, Lord, I am yours. Apostle Paul said, I will die for the name of the Lord. Amen? I will die for his namesake. You could see every day in your life, wherever you go, the name of Jesus, you will listen. But you know what? The Lord cannot listen to all those names. His name cannot be pronounced or uttered by anyone. Only by those who call him from the deep. Amen? From the deep. Because the name of the Lord is so precious, so powerful, it is even in the Ten Commandments, be careful how you use the name of the Lord. Those who profane the name of the Lord and those who reproach or bring reproach to the name of the Lord and those who try to divide the family which is shielded under the banner of his love. Upon the wall, outside the wall, inside the wall, for the name of the Lord's sake, let's learn from the Lord how he speaks and how he do things. The name of Jesus Christ, as we studied few months ago, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, Root and Offspring, Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, the Prophet, the Apostle, the way he allowed people to call him and make us to understand, you are doing everything and you are my everything for that reason, I am nothing without you. The branches are nothing without you. Then why the Lord said, I will cut the branches and throw to the fire. The day when we feel something, our branch will have its own root. When the Lord sees another root, he would cut that branch, throw away. Inside the wall, outside the wall, let's learn from the Lord. Let's continue this. The wrath of man worketh not to righteousness. Verse 2, and he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Oh yes, indeed. He can breathe life into the stones. The Lord whom we serve. But they were mocking. The same way Rabshakeh was mocking. Mocking, mockery. But what happens? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. 2,000 horses were mentioned by Rabshakeh to those three. A single fox is mentioned by Tobiah to those who are building the wall. If you remember what the Lord dealt with Samson and the 300 foxes in the book of Judges, chapter 15, verse 4, Samson caught 300 foxes, he licked their tail and just sent them, and they go and destroy all the fields. And here, the enemies are simply making a mockery. One single fox goes upon the wall, the whole wall will collapse. And the Lord already made a mockery of all the enemies. But he did not use his servants to destroy the field. He just sent the animals. On King Azariah's side, he did not use his servants to destroy the enemies. He sent his angels. Now let's learn. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O our God." The book of Nehemiah is written in such a way that the writer speaks to us as if he is standing next to us. But the beauty is, sometimes Nehemiah speaks like a servant and sometimes he speaks like God. I will show you where it is. "Now, hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." In the land of captivity, give them some other prey, Lord. In the land of captivity, not us. We are not in the land of captivity, but we are in the land of liberty. Amen? Now, he is requesting very specifically what he wants. Why? The work is going on, the wall is not built yet. The Bible says, no one can hinder the work of God. No one. The book of Isaiah said, the way of holiness, the highway, is reserved for redeemed and remnants. No one can enter the way of holiness, which is reserved for God's people. Do not think in your life, I want to do so many things for the Lord, but this obstacle is hindering me. It's a lie. You are a liar. I am a liar. Nothing can enter the way of holiness. Nothing can stand in the narrow path. Either you turn to left or you turn to the right. It is scripture. No beast, no wild beast can enter the highway of holiness. No beast. The book of Ezekiel beautifully unfolds it. No other beast can enter the highway of holiness. But what they do? They stand far off, keep on making noise to get your attention, and they will draw you far away from the place where you are safe and sound, and there it will gain its power to kill you and devour you. But the Lord says, nothing can snatch my children away from my mighty hand. Now let's remember this. Every time the children of God are thrown into valleys, thrown into some hardships, plague, those who ever believe, no one, nothing can separate me from the love of God, they survive. Even if they die, they survive the test. It's not about whether you stay alive. It's about whether you are able to hold on to your faith until your last breath. Then the Lord says, you live. The world will say, no, I killed him. No, he lived. He lives. As long as you hold on to your holy faith, no one can kill you. The day you drop it, you are dead, even if you are breathing. Now let's read this. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn the reproach upon their own head." This is exactly what God told King Hezekiah when Hezekiah was praying. Now the prophet Nehemiah, he went one step before. Why? Because he was a prophet. He knows what the Lord wants because he is a vessel. Filled by his spirit, he is speaking for the Lord, in the Lord, through the Lord, by the Lord. That's why I'm said, the book of Nehemiah is so beautiful. You could see the vessel speaking and the Lord speaking through the vessel. Because the grammar didn't change. There is no change like other prophetical books. It is written as if Nehemiah is speaking to you. Now let's read this. "And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." What? Before the builders. A prophet of God knows exactly who is the maker and the builder. In the book of Hebrews we know, the Lord who is the maker and the builder of the city where we shall dwell. Amen? So build thee the wall. I love this verse in King James Version. So build thee the wall. You can read two sides. One, so build thee the wall. So build thee the wall. Do you see? So, they built the wall, And the Lord built us as the wall. When we say, Lord, chief precious cornerstone, and we are the lively stone, the new city of Holy Jerusalem, the Lord compared it with bricks. Amen. And He breathed His life into us. He compared Himself with the solid rock, the chief cornerstone. And when the Lord allowed them to do something physically, He also allowed the enemies to mock at them and to witness it. And He taught a lesson to Nehemiah and the people to build the wall and to work at the same time. Amen? And to defend at the same time. Now you see, but, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Previously it was described they were wroth, they were angry. When they heard they are able to still do the work, even after their mockery, they got very angry, they got provoked. The same way the great Herod was provoked when the wise man didn't turn up to him. They were provoked. Not by the actions, but by the work that they were doing. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now you see. Now they established the thought. Let's go to Jerusalem and hinder the work. No one can hinder the work of the Lord. Amen? But you can hinder the work of the Lord in you. Because you can decide whether you want Him or not. You can decide whether you want to be separated from Him or not. For you are created in His image, in His likeness. He separates Himself from unholy. You have the chance to separate yourself from unholy or from the holy. Blessing or curse. Life or death. He gave it to our hands. Free will. And what people say? My free will is completely under the perfect will of God. The Lord has called me. I am saved. I will just go and do my business. You are a liar. I am a liar. We can never ever use the word of the Lord to twist our understanding or to justify the actions. There is one simple way of measuring our actions. Every time you search for a Bible verse to console your action, you are not led by the Spirit of the Lord. As simple as that. Every single time you go and look for something just to justify, just to feel peace, you are not led by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The Lord do not look for the children to justify themselves in His word. He wants to be justified in their life. He wants to be justified in their life for you to be righteous, for you to survive from what is about to come. And forget not, we are very near. We are very near to what is about to come. Let's continue this. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Beautiful. It's okay. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. You see how seamlessly they adapted to the situation. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set the watch against them day and night because of them. That is where the purpose of that mockery plays into the role of the growth. Because of them, we set up watch day and night. Amen? So now you see why the Lord make people to sit on the wall. If there are no enemies, then why you need a wall? If there are no enemies who will invade the city, why you need watchmen? Nevertheless, we started praying and we set people to watch over day and night because of them. When Jesus told the three disciples whom He brought to the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. Amen? Watch and pray. Did He bring all 11? Did He bring all of them? He only brought 3. Now, watch day and night because of them. But is it the fear of them will come and kill the children, kill the woman? Oh, so we should be very careful of enemy. You can spend your entire life focusing on enemy, adversary, saying that, I'm a child of God, I'm a soldier of God, I'm fighting. And you will forget to praise and worship Him. And you will fail to please Him. The battle is not yours. The reason why he asks us to watch is for us to exercise our faith. How we react in the time of adversity. How we handle our life holding on to the word of the Lord. He wants us to show. There is no certificate without a practical examination. He won't give it to us. There is no room for us to say, Lord, I have all the theoretical knowledge. The Lord would say, you haven't even joined the party. Out. Without exercising our faith, we will never make it. The Lord would never let us make it. He is righteous. He is the same. Yesterday, today and forever. To those who reveal, he deals differently. To those who haven't revealed, he deals differently. For he is righteous. Now, there is a difference between King Hezekiah and Nehemiah. Did you see? The king was looking for the prophet Isaiah who came and delivered the message. And King Hezekiah obeyed. But before that, those three, they obeyed the king for what the king told them. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. He waited for what the Lord wants him to do, want them to do. He waited. The Lord said, the Lord sent Prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. He came and spoke. But here we are focusing on the weeping prophet, as the people also mocking, right? Nehemiah is also called, you know, like Prophet Jeremiah. Nehemiah also went through a lot of pain and trials, a lot of challenges in his life. Now he is speaking for the children of the Lord. And he says, in verse 10, he's speaking to us, right? And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish. What Rabshakeh said? Oh, they will eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you. He said that he didn't leave them. Oh, did I forget to insult you? Oh, sorry, with you. They will eat their own dung and they will drink their own piss with you. And now Judah says, decay, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. We are. Nehemiah is speaking to us even today. We are. He didn't say we were. We are. The reason the book was written in such a way, for us to learn today. We are not able to build the wall. They thought. Who thought? Judah. And our adversaries. Now he labeled all others in a single word, adversaries. Amen. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You could see the same pattern in those who do backbiting. They would always say, they would not understand. They would not know. They can't receive this. It is too much for them. They wouldn't know. Let me tell to you. They wouldn't know. If they wouldn't know, why you tell to them? I wouldn't know. Emptiness. Vanity. When the Spirit of the Lord is in you, every word you speak will be full of blessedness. When you are led by your mind, every word you speak, you can see emptiness. Because the Lord said, anything outside fear of God is vanity. Amen? Now he says, you see how beautiful it is. He says, they shall not know, neither see. Yes, of course. They shall not know, neither see. We shall not know the ways of the Lord. Those whom they serve, you know, the world. Greater is he who is in me, amen? Than who is in the world. If you know the laws, the rules, the faith of all the heathen religion, then you wouldn't be sitting here. And the Bible says Adam knew Eve, it talks about intimacy, amen? They knew each other and there was a fruit they bring for the child. And the Lord called all of us, know me as I know you, in spirit. If we want to be fruitful, we know him in intimate relationship, in our spirit. Amen? So when the enemies are mocking at them, they are actually speaking the truth. Yes, they don't know our ways. They don't know what we believe. They don't know the power of our heathen religion. Yes, of course, we don't know. We don't want to know and we would never know. For we know him, known only to him. Now you see, slay them and cause the work to cease. It's all about putting that work to come to an end. Something to do to cease that work. What Rabshakeh said, don't believe your God. He will deceive you. What these guys are telling, adversaries. We will do something even if it takes to kill them. Let's kill them. I just do not want this wall to be built. Amen? That is exactly what the adversaries wanted to achieve. That is exactly what the adversary has been doing all this while. But we are not here to fear the adversary. We are not here to equip ourselves, put all the armor of God. I'm going to fight the adversary. No. Let us do not misunderstand the word of the Lord. Your first priority is to praise Him, worship Him, pray. Automatically you will get everything else. When you praise, you will put on the clothes, garment of salvation, garment of praise. When you're singing songs, do you think enemy can lay hands on you? Do you really think when a true worshipper of God singing songs, speaking in the spirit, the enemy can't even step into the presence while you are standing in the highway of holiness? It is scripture. Believe the scripture. Trust in the word of the Lord. Believe it. If you do not believe it, you have gone one step outside of the highway of holiness. Then the beast can touch you. That is how the Potiphar's wife touched the garment of Joseph. He ran from her, went back to the highway of holiness. Never let the adversary to touch you. That is why 1 Timothy says, teach all of us in chapter 5, never receive accusation. Why? Accusation is a fruit of adversary. If you receive, then we violate the covenant the Lord has given us. Because for us, we receive, we heard, we learned the truth. So for the children of God, receiving means we believe, we accept it. When you receive an accusation, you accept the adversary to have a dominion in your life. For that reason, the Lord would not take it lightly. Touch not my anointed. Was he joking? King Saul touched the clothes of Samuel. What happened? He teared the hair on the clothes and Samuel cursed him on the spot. Amen? It was not Samuel. Samuel loves King Saul. Remember, after the Lord punished King Saul, Samuel was heartbroken. Because Samuel was the one who ordained, called King Saul to be the king. He was heartbroken. He had to be comforted by the Lord. How come King Saul can curse? How come King Saul can be cursed by Samuel who loves him? It was not him. The vessel cannot control when the Creator controls it. That's why when Ezekiel was speaking, son of Ananias died on the spot. Ezekiel never wanted to be a murderer. When Apostle Peter was speaking, Ananias died on the spot. Of course, Apostle Peter wanted to preach to save souls. Vessel has no power when the Creator has complete dominion over you. Amen. We are not here to serve men. Amen? Amen? We will never grow to please men. Even if the Lord wants us to shrink, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He would never, ever make His children to please men. Amen. For in man there is death. In Him there is life. Amen. Let's continue this. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, they said unto us 10 times, come on, 10 times belong to the Lord. He sent plagues, 10 plagues. He gave 10 commandments, fullness. They came and told them 10 times, not once, not twice, 10 times. From all places, when He shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their sword, their spears, and their bows. How powerful it is. If there was no adversary, do you think Nehemiah and the people would have done this? Do you think? The Lord tells us He throws us into valleys for us to be trained. Amen? He throws us into valleys for us to be trained. He sent us to wilderness for us to grow. It was not His desire to punish us or chasten us. He sees growth. It's all about progress. He always looks for the prophet. Why? Because His word cannot come back to Him in vain. So when He speaks, He means business. After the adversary, before the adversary, in the name of the Lord, you can see there is a difference in the people whom He dealt with. A big, mighty difference that glorifies the name of the Lord, that opens the door for the next generation to come and fit in. He prepares and He makes them to progress. So because of this, lower places in the hinge of the wall and the higher places, Nehemiah setting up people with the family, teaching them how to hold the armor. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, unto the rest of the people. Now he said, be not ye afraid of them. This is what prophet Isaiah said when King Hezekiah was waiting for him. The very first word prophet Isaiah said, fear not. Don't fear not because of the word spoken. God is with you. And King Nehemiah is speaking, because he is the prophet here. He says, fear, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Terrible. I want you all to remember this word. the Lord whom you serve is terrible. But what we say, my Lord is so gracious, wonderful, so lovely. Oh, thank you, Lord, I love you so much. Let me go and do my own worldly stuff and I come back to you and sing songs unto you. The Lord whom you serve is terrible. But in the word terrible is used for some bad stuff. Oh, he's a terrible guy. Oh, he's a terrible brother. Oh, terrible sister. What a terrible experience. Terrible. He can send the terror to shake the foundation of those whom you want to grow. Terrible means when the Lord cannot change himself and as a consuming fire, you go and try to, you know, stand against him, you will see how terrible he is. Because he won't move. He will be there. He will be just there. The fire went forth from his presence when it devoured Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. He didn't send somewhere else, from himself. From his presence. God is a consuming fire. The Lord is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren. Wrath of God, anger of the Lord who is terrible, why he is like this? Fight for your brethren. Look at verse 2. What? How the Samaritan leader, he's also a Horonite. Verse 2 he says, and he spake before his brethren. So, the enemy, he also has his own brethren. He calls people as his brethren. Those who are with him, on his side, share the same mission, same goal, same agenda, same desire. So he has his own set of brethren. And now the Lord says in verse 14 through the prophet, and fight for your brethren. And these brethren are who? Your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. The children of God. The family of God. And we say, like how Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. But if you are a selfish Christian, you will always read the verse, and for me and my house, my wife, my children, my father, my great-great-grandfather, my uncle, my neighbor, within your own circle. That is not a house. And as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, for Jesus is mine. Where is your intimacy with God? Where is your personal experience with God? The Bible says, the Lord will raise father against son, son against father, right? What does it mean? What does it mean? The godly brotherhood surpass your bloodline when you embrace the blood of Jesus Christ in the house of the Lord. There is only one house. That verse always refers to one house. Although Lord is houses, because this is the house of the Lord. Because you are all houses of the Lord. A church is a place where churches gather. A temple is a place where temples gather. The name of the place was given by those who are also temple of the Holy Spirit. Now let's continue. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. He confounded them. Amen. The enemies, he confounded them, scattered them. He beat them outside. Counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, everyone unto his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Rabshakeh came, he was looking at the people sitting on the wall. He was mocking them. What he said? Do you think I came to speak to your master, my master, or to you? No. Those who sit on the wall, let them eat their own dung and drink their own piss. You also do it with them. And now, Nehemiah said, and we return all of us to the wall, everyone unto his word. Amen. There is no separation. Everyone unto his word. What is that word? We will go there later. And it came to pass, from that time forth, that the heart of my servant wrought in the work. You see, from that time forth. Now the work of the Lord is taking different shapes, different forms, because of the adversary the Lord has allowed to be in place. Because of them, they said day and night watch. Because of them, now they are doing something changed in the way they work. You see how they work. And it came to pass from that time forth, from now on, from that particular moment, the half of my servant wrought in the work, the other half of them held both the spears and shields and the bows, and the Habadians and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with other hand held a weapon. Held a weapon. Do you know the true weapon Phinehas carried was not the spear. It was the yielding to the zeal of the Lord for him to be a vessel of God. He took the weapon to humble himself, to trust in the Lord, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts consumed him, controlled him, and took that weapon, threw it, and put an end to the plague. It's not a physical lesson for us who are going through battleground in our mind, in our spirit. Let us learn. The zeal of the Lord is so, so powerful that we all must ask Him to give it to us. Zeal of the Lord of hosts. For the Lord did not consume the people of Israel for the zeal of Phinehas. He honored His servant. For my servant Moses said, for my servant David said, for my servant Abraham said, you see how the Lord honored His servant. But it's all Him. Without Him they couldn't have done nothing. Abraham was Abraham. David committed sin with Bathsheba. Moses was so filled with unbelief. The Lord molded them, changed them, transfigured them, restored them, and made them to be a perfect vessel of God before he took them. Now you see, here, the prophet Nehemiah is keep on exercising and learning and growing as the Lord is making him to come to a higher ground where he wants him to be. You see, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. This by me is not just Nehemiah. When Joshua was instructing the people, the armed men, the priests who were carrying the seven trumpets all before the ark of the Lord, the trumpet will only be blown when the Lord decides it to be done. The Lord decides. Amen. The Lord decides when there will be a great shout, and the Lord decides every single action of those who have become the temple of His Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that controls all. The Spirit that does all good things. Amen. All the bad things, let's take the full credit. Good things, glory be to Him. Let every man be a liar. Amen. Now let's read this. And I said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, unto the rest of the people, the work is great and large, for we are separated upon the wall, one from another. Praise the Lord. How we are separated? We are separated upon the wall, one from one another. When the trumpet blows, we shall tarry there. Amen. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Again, there is a promise. God shall fight for you, don't fight. God shall fight for you, don't fight. He is mighty in battle. Now, it says, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears, and from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, and I said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, not outside. Within. This is very important. We will go there later. Within Jerusalem, remember this in your heart. Within Jerusalem, that in the night, they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So, labor on the day and be a guard on the night. So, neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. None of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them for washing. I mentioned 2 Sundays ago. Garments, clothing is extremely deep that we have to seek the Lord to learn from Him. May the Lord bless us to go on a series when the Lord leads us. Garments. They did not change their garments, saving only for washing. Now, chapter 4 is an introduction of those people. Verse 1 says, Sanballat, and he is like a Samaritan leader, a Horonite, comes into the scene. He brings another guy, Tobiah, and they form a team. Tobiah is an Ammonite. Now let's write the name so that we go there. So in the place of Sennacherib, now we have Sanballat. In the place of Rabshaka, let's add Tobiah, and there are few more to come. Now here, in the place of Hezekiah, we have Prophet Nehemiah. Now let's turn our Bibles to chapter 5, verse 6. From verse 6 to verse 13.
And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exerting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silent and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also a hundredth of the money and the grain, and new wine and the oil that you have charged them. So they said, we will restore it, and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise.
Amen.
Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise.
Amen.
Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's look at verse 13. Chapter 4 presents the sequence of events from the moment adversary entered into the scene, mocking at those who are building the wall, and how the Lord strengthened Nehemiah to be wise to continue the work without being distracted. But there are some who were distracted in the chapter 5 unfold. From verse 1 to 6, it talks about the cry of the people and their wives against the brethren, the Jews. Against who? The brethren, the Jews. There was a great cry of people who were inside the wall against those of their brethren of the Jews. And that cry angered the prophet, for he was so grieving in his heart that they couldn't see the work of the Lord, what he's doing here. So verse 13 says, also I shook my lap. Look this very carefully. I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not his promise. Do you know why the Lord blessed David to be called, oh, he's a man after my own heart, for he do all my will. Amen. David earned the beautiful name because he was willing to do all his will. And now the prophet says, I will shake my lap. So God, you also shake every man from his house and from his labor, whatever the work that services that he's doing, assuming that he's offering sacrifices in his own understanding, if it is not performed according to your will, shake him out. Who said that? The prophet spoke it. By who? The Spirit of the Lord. Or else he won't be called as prophet. Now the Lord told Ezekiel, son of man, prophecy, prophecy. Why? Now you know why. Now you see, he needs a vessel to yield and to trust him to speak the words of life. And now he spoke and he said, whoever that is performeth not this promise, even that he be shaken out. Spit him, spit her out. The way the Lord throw Miriam out. And all the congregation, this is where we come at, all the congregation said, Amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Two Sundays ago, we recited 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there is a beautiful representation of how the gifts of the Spirit must be used to honor the name of the Lord. How the heavenly languages, prophecies, must be only used to glorify the name of the Lord. There was a warning. How can you make the room of unlearned to say Amen? Do you understand what is the meaning? In your office, in your workplace, whoever used the name of the Lord, Jesus for nothing, remember that is not the Jesus you and me are worshipping. We talked about it. Even people who say Amen for things that they should not say, that is also not the same Amen that says the Lord Amen in the book of Revelation. Unlearned cannot utter the word Amen, for Amen is the name of the Lord. I repeat, unlearned cannot utter the name of the Lord.
For learning is understanding, understanding is the truth, truth is the revelation, it is to be revealed by the truth himself, Jesus Christ. When the truth is revealed, you will have a different way of calling his name. Even without you speaking, the moment you think, he knows you are calling him. Which language is going to please him other than the blessed thought that is in your heart? He knows your heart. That is the only language which doesn't need pen, doesn't need tongue to speak. He can read your heart. That's why that we said, Lord, let me love you from my heart, with all my heart. Whatever the service you do to the Lord, sacrifice you give to the Lord, whatever it is, no matter how hard, how uncomfortable you did, let me tell you the truth. It might be something you are doing outside the will of God. If the Lord is not in you, if the Lord was not in that decision of that sacrifice. For that reason, when Rahab was redeemed from the city of Jericho, there were also some materials redeemed, silver, gold. But those who made those materials were not redeemed. Do you think that all those materials or vessels or those some sort of a resources that can be kept in the treasury of the Lord in the camp, they were not made by Rahab and his family, made by someone. But the Lord took it, consecrated it and put it in the camp. What does it mean? Even the enemy will work for you. Even the enemy will work for the Lord without his knowledge, without his will, because his perfect will surpass every other thought, every other intention, because no one can stop what is going to come to pass. It will be done, it shall be done, because it is done in his sight. The moment he had purposed it, it is done. It is so beautiful if you only keep your hand like this, past, present, future. For you will look from here all the way to here. But for the Lord, it's a single dot. How will you look back? For he is beyond time. He will look at your past, he will look at your present, he will look at your future, how you deal your life. But you can't say, oh Lord, I am at complete control of my God's book of will. I will be just nothing and he will do everything. No. He wants you to work, he wants you to show. Now, let's read this. Chapter 5, verse 13 we just read. And emptied. We talked about emptiness. And all the congregation is where the Lord, when the Lord says all the congregation, those who are the true worshippers of God, genuinely, sincerely, humbly, with all their heart, all their soul, all their spirit, to completely surrender to the Lord, for the Lord to call them, all the congregation. The word all might be misunderstood. Let's say there are 50,000 people in the church. When the Lord says all the congregation, it's not 50,000. It might be even 10. When he said congregation of the Lord, the church doesn't define the congregation of the Lord. Amen. We are here to be perfected, to become the Lord, to say congregation of the Lord, to have complete dominion over our life. Now, let's read this. Verse 15, chapter 5, verse 15. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver, yea, even the servants bare rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Why? Fear of God. You know how powerful this word, which shows the testimony of the vessel, and why the Lord decided to use that vessel as his testimony. Because of the fear of God, he had refused to eat the same bread, whatever the previous governors were offering, he refused because of the fear of God. Now you see, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I continued the work on the wall, neither we bought any land. And all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, they were at my table, and 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now, that which was prepared before me daily was one ox and six choice of sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine, yet for all this required not I the bread of governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Bondage was heavy upon this people. 2 Sundays ago we met in Book of Revelation. The bondage was compared to a cage. Amen? A cage of evil spirits. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. The verse is, think upon me, my God, for good, for according to all that you have done through your vessel for your people. The prophet, the way the words are written, it is so powerful. The book of Nehemiah, it continues to unfold the wrath of God in a different dimension. Now, we are going to add few names to the group or the team of Sanballat. Tobiah Geshem, he's an Arabian, he's a Horonite, a Samaritan leader, and Tobiah is Ammonite. Okay, these three, remember the names. On the other side, so far we are only hearing the name of Nehemiah. So far the other names are not mentioned. Now, chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies. How the word is written? Rest of our enemies. Not the rest of the enemies of Nehemiah and people. The rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall. Now, I had builded the wall goes to the Lord, all glory to the Lord. No one can build the wall of the Lord. The Lord built it. And he built it through his lively stones, through his vessels, through his children, the congregation of the Lord. Everyone should be upon the wall. Now let's read this. And when they heard that I had builded the wall, because enemies said, they perceived this is a work of God. This wall was wrought of God. And there was no breach left therein. Look at this very carefully. No breach left therein. There could not be any breach in the wall, for the Lord had built it. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Now look at this very carefully. Now when they heard that the wall was built, they sent a message to who? Nehemiah. And what they are telling? They are extending invitation. Come. Let's go and meet in some village that is outside the wall, some other place that is far away from your territory. Come outside, like the ravening, like a roaring lion to devour the prey. Invitation of discussion. Psalm chapter 1 tells us, never ever walk into the counsel of ungodly. Amen? Never. Do not sit in the seat of scornful. Never. But you see how much wisdom the Lord blessed Nehemiah. The invitation was sent to him through messengers. But Hezekiah did not go. He's the same way Nehemiah also did not go. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, for my Lord is great. I serve the great king. For that reason, whatever the work I do is a great work. So that I cannot come down. No. I refuse your invitation. I reject your request. Because I am doing the work of the Lord. There is nothing important to me other than this. And for that reason, I am not coming. Let your A be A, nay be nay. Anything more than this is evil. Never try to save someone in the place of the Savior. You will be outside the way of holiness. You will find yourself next to the wild beast. Now, he says, why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? How powerful the words the prophet is uttering. He is asking them, how dare you to ask me to come down, to come and discuss with you when I am building a wall for the Lord? He is asking a question. Yet they sent unto me 4 times. Now how many times? 4 times. Previously, 10 times. So the number is reducing. The flame is going to be put off. So it's burning with full power, then it's keep on dimming. From 10, now it's 4. We also know the number, what 4 represents. four times after the sword, and he answered them after the same manner. He is also mocking them. He sent the messengers four times for the same request. The prophet responded to them four times in the same way. I won't come. Go thy way. I won't come. I am not stepping outside the wall where the Lord has called me to be in. I am not stepping outside my fellowship, outside my family, outside my church, outside my temple, for the glory of the Lord is in the midst. The day you go outside the wall of fire, you will be having communion with the wild beast.
Amen.
Now you read this. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat a servant unto me like in manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Look at this. Now what is coming? Open letter. Do you remember the letter that was sent by Sennacherib to King Hezekiah? When it was sent, after the prophet spoke, after Rabshakeh thought, oh, he went to Lachish, so King Sennacherib sent a letter to King Hezekiah to mock him, to insult him, to speak evil about the church, the city, the congregation of the Lord. Now again, the same pattern continues. Do you see? An open letter sent after four times the prophet rejected the invitation. An open letter. And it says, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen and Gashmu. Remember, Gashmu is nothing but the name of Geshem, the Arabian who was mentioned in verse 1. Gashmu says it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. Who? The rebellious people are telling them, are you trying to rebel? It's exactly the same. Rabshakeh told those people, three, why are you trying to rebel against a great king? Now you see, for which cause thou buildest the wall? Because I see you are building the wall. Are you trying to protect yourself from me? Are you trying to become the defender city? Remember the first verse, chapter 36, King Sennacherib, he raised his army to go after the defender territories. Amen? Defender cities, the cities where the wall was built. The adversary hold him to go and attack those because the Lord was in them. Now the city, the Lord is building wall, and the enemy is trying to hinder, knowing not, no one can hinder God's word. Now, what comes after this is so beautiful. You see the sequence. I love this sequence. For which cause thou buildest the wall? What confidence thou hast? Remember the word spoken by Rabshakeh. That thou mayest be the king according to these words. Now, he is putting a blame, a false accusation on the prophet, Nehemiah. Are you trying to become a king? A king can be a prophet. A king cannot be a priest. Now he is a prophet. Nehemiah was not a king. He is like a governor in Judah, similar to the rulers before him. Now he is deceiving, spreading lies, being the fullest form of adversary. Thou mayest be the king according to these words, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. He is trying to idolize Nehemiah. God took Moses when he saw people started seeing Moses as the absolute. He always takes his servants whenever the servant becomes the idol. Always. He never give a chance. He takes them for a better place. Preach thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. You see the word counsel. Every time you remember the word counsel, first thing, our Savior, his name is Wonderful Counselor. Amen? Everything else is ungodly counsel. Take it. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 talks about ungodly counsel. Anything without the Lord, against the word, it is ungodly counsel. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Now they are calling the prophet who is filled by the Spirit, speaking through the Lord, speaking with the Lord, speaking by the Lord. They are calling him, come to me for counsel. He would say, I am with the counselor and the counselor in me. Which counselor are you talking about?
Amen.
Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Own heart. I just said a few minutes before, David was called a man after mine own heart. Who said this? God himself. And now, prophet says, whatever you speak, whatever you think, or the Lord is speaking to me, I'm hearing some voice, I'm going to do this, this and that. The Lord says, be careful, it is from your own heart. The heart is the evil of all. It's poison. It can deceive you. It can deceive those who are around you. It can deceive those who love you. It can deceive those who trust you. You will become the vessel of adversary. Be careful. We are here to become the vessels of honor, not the vessels of dishonor. For the Lord will destroy it. Now, verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now you may think, why the prophet says he is afraid. They have become afraid because of them. But just few verses before, we saw the word fear not of them. A prophet will fear none other than God himself. When the prophet Elijah feared Jezebel, the Lord took him. Remember, you are called to fear him. Whenever the Lord is getting weary, he will strengthen us. If it is not sufficient, he will take us home. It is better to live with him rather than die without him. It's all about dying with him. Those who died in faith receive not the promise. Because he already has his promise. He is your promise. Now let's look at this. Now Nehemiah is humbling himself. Lord, I am afraid there are some adversaries against me. They are telling that our hands will be weak. We can't finish the work. And Lord, you know, it is true. Without you, our hands will become weary. We can't do the work. But Lord, with you, the mighty hand of God, I will get this done. We will get this done. That is what he is saying. By decreasing himself, for the Lord to increase himself. Verse 9 is a beautiful demonstration of how a mighty prophet of God humbled himself to the ground. He didn't say, do you know who I am? Do you know whom is in me? He didn't say all of that. That was greater is he who is in me than who is in me. It is for you to tell yourself, not to go and tell everyone, hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? No. Your spirituality is not for you to boast. Whatever you learn is not for you to show off. You are naked in the sight of God all the time. Garment of salvation is the only thing that you can cover, not your skills, not your trophy. It's all vanity. Prophet says, Lord, I am afraid. Now you know why Job said, that great day that I fear, that I greatly fear, come upon me. You know what is the fear that you should have? The day the glory of the Lord leaves the temple of Holy Ghost, you should fear your flesh. Your flesh will kill you. Your carnality will kill you. Your mind will destroy you. That fear is not you are afraid of. You are afraid of your yourself without him. The greatest wild beast is right in front of your mirror. You, me, that is the roaring lion, like a lion, waiting to devour you with his own thought. Delusion is more poisonous than deception. Do not be deluded. Prophet says, God, I am afraid. You know, they are true. If I am in flesh, if I am in my mind, I will be weaker. But if you are in me, I will get this done. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So Psalm, we read, God bless the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Amen? Now let's read this. Verse 10. Now I want you to focus the sequence. Because sequence is the way the Lord deals things. Because it's like all of us are climbing a mountain. Some of us have knee pain. We sip. Everybody sip. We go and find water for them. Get food for them. Feed them. They become stronger. We share the love. Then we walk again. Someone fell, get injured. We sit. We go and medicine for them, help them, we walk. When you look back after you finish the journey, every time the Lord allowed you to sit, you have grown. I have grown. We all have grown. There is no journey with the Lord without growth, for He is always about our salvation. He always feeds us. Even when you go in famine, He always feeds you to believe that He is with you. Now here, something that beautiful happened after this. Verse 10 is where abomination entered into picture. You see, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehatabel. Now you see, I will write the name in red so that we put him on the other side. House of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, and the son of Mehatabel. I will just write single name Shemaiah. Okay? Remember this name. So the enemies tried all their best outside the wall. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, who is also called Geshmu. Now there is a new name introduced, Shemaiah. And says, who was shut up? Start from there. Delaiah, the son of Mehatabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Where? In the house of God. What was the previous invitation? Can we go and meet in some villages, please? And the prophet Nehemiah said, no, thank you. Fourth time, no, thank you. Fifth time, letter was sent. Letter was an open letter, invaded, right? Now start from here. Who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Where? Within the temple. Now the attempt goes from outside to inside, for the word that is written is within the temple. For all the attempts outside temple failed. Now stage one weapon has been sent. Now read this. You see how he speaks. I am doing this for God. I am doing because God told me. I am doing this for spiritual edification of you. I am doing this for our salvation. I am doing this for this and that and this. In the house of the Lord will be an abomination. Now, you see how beautifully the Lord delivers his prophet out of him. You read this. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. Let us close all the doors, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Wow. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Someone inside who was shut up speaking, close the doors of the church, close the doors of the congregation, just seal everything, something is going to happen. You should be feared, be scared, they are going to slay you. Close the doors, let's meet. As if you are the savior. Who saves who? Who defends who? Now, you read this. Verse 11. Wow. Verse 11. You can tell this to yourself. And I said, should such a man as I flee? You tell yourself, every time a storm hits you, every time a suffering comes and hits you hard, you tell yourself, and I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. Now Nehemiah is speaking, right? Did anybody tell him, oh Nehemiah, be careful. When God is in you, you will behave like a child of God. You will think like a child of God. You will speak like a child of God. If there is a delay, then that delay is the distance from you and the way of holiness. Now let's read this. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him. No one told Nehemiah that I didn't send him. He knows. He knows. A child of God knows the voice of God. I have heard some people telling me, oh, is this prophecy true? Was there a word called thus saith the Lord? How can I trust this prophet? Oh, you go and tell yourself. Can you tell me, is it the voice of the Father? Are you his child? Oh yes, I am. Then tell me. You tell me, if this prophecy, if this word spoken, is it from your Father? How do I know? And how do you serve? If you don't even know which is from God, which is from your mind, you are somewhere far away from the way of holiness. I perceived that God had not sent him. What a powerful testimony of the prophet who just said this, just like that. The spirit of discernment is a critical thing that a child of God should possess, should embrace, should add. If you can't discern, you will be standing on something, thinking that it is a solid rock, but it's not a cleft of the rock. It is a rock that will break and fall into the ocean. And you will die. You will sink and die. Now, look at this. Therefore was he hired. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm coming to verse 13 before. Because I perceived that God had not sent him. Whoever was not sent by God, they were hired by someone. Remember this. Remember this. Anyone who speak about the word of the Lord, speak about the church, speak about the congregation, something more spiritual, to showcase, I am so spiritual. They are hired by someone. Read this. Verse 12 again. I perceived that God had not sent him. God had not sent him. For that reason, Isaiah 7:7, nothing shall come to pass. Nothing shall stand against. Now you continue to read this. Verse 12. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Beautiful. They were able to post the job advertisement through the letter, and they successfully hired a guy who can work for them. What a stronghold. they took complete control of Shemaiah in the house, who are able to go near to Nehemiah. Let's go and discuss in the temple. Fear the enemies, man. The moment Nehemiah feared the enemies, the moment glory of God will leave from him. Correct?
Amen.
If you fear your flesh, if you fear enemy, then where is your faith? And where is your trust? Then what is about, oh Lord, I love you so much, I will sing and dance. All fake.
Amen.
That's what you said, oh, they sing and praise, they say so many things from their lips, but their heart is far away from me, because the Lord will never step away from his way of holiness. Either you are there or not. Either you are in, you are out. You are dead or you are alive. So, prophet says, Tobiah and Sanballat, they hire him. So, they are the employers. Chief operating officer and the manager who hired this worker who is going to see Nehemiah. But Nehemiah is not Nehemiah. He is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How can you deceive the temple? Are you the temple of Holy Spirit? Then why are you scared? Now, let's read this. Therefore was he hired that I should be upright and do so and sin. This is where his trap that he was able to overcome. Verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and to do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report. Remember what we discussed 2 Sundays ago. 6 things. What was the last one? Good report. Amen? Good report. Think of these things. Whatever that can give you praise and virtue, think of these things. Whatsoever. Now he says, the intention of Shemaiah is to make him fear God, and but fear the enemy more than the God, and to make him commit sin by doing so to get him an evil report. I will write here. His intention is to get him an evil report. So Nehemiah discerned it. I just mentioned the whole house as Shemaiah. Now you read this. That they might reproach me. Once this is done, the next step will be they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophet Nehemiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So what he says, Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong. I am nothing, but you are everything. I can't do anything without you. Abraham said, I'm not taking a single step without your presence. Moses said, I'm not going anywhere without you leading me. They were telling, Lord, become my head. Drag me. Then I'll come. Prophet said, Lord, they are trying to make me to receive the fear of men, you know. Can you please save me? He's just submitting an appeal. And tell the Lord, I just want to fear you. None. What the Lord says. After that, there was no answer or there was no discussion. But verse 15 says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of month Elul in 52 days. The work is done. Whatever the conversation between 14 and 15, it doesn't matter, because the conversation is speaking louder in verse 15. The work is done in 52 days as the Lord planned. Now, we will read few verses before I close. Let's read same chapter. We will finish until 19, then we'll continue. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Now 16, keep it. Now you read 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Now read 16. And they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. When the Lord decides to reveal his work, everyone will see that this work is wrought of God. But he hides his marvelous things for his children to taste. Because when he comes to expose everything, on that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Everybody will say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't know. Oh, no, Lord, forgive me. Take me home. But he will come to judge. That time there is no room for grace. He will come with a rod to judge. So let's be very careful of the Lord whom we serve, who is terrible. And verse 18, for there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Mehushalam, the son of Bereshiah. And they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. This guy, he has not stopped sending letters. A letter man. Everybody has a role. Hiring someone, sending something, trying to delude, trying to divide, trying to bring fear in the church of God, forgetting the fact that when the Spirit is in the temple of God, everyone, you are controlled, guided, led, punished, chastened, allowed to fall and rise by the Spirit of the Lord. Your fall can be a trap for someone's fall for once. But for us, we have to bow our heads. Lord, help us to stay in prayers, not in actions. Now, let me read one verse so that we will introduce this name, so we will remember. His name is Eliashib. I will just write here, because anyway he is on that side. Remember this name, Eliashib. So they are adding one by one. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, Shemaiah, Eliashib. He is standing alone. But he's not alone. He is just standing by himself with him. Chapter 7 verse 1. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built and I had set up the doors were not set up until the wall was built. Do you see that? So that there was no breach. Remember? And the porters and singers and the Levites were appointed. On one side, enemies are gathering, sending letters, doing everything they can. And this prophet is appointing singers. Come on. He's appointing singers, which is more important than preparing the weapons to fight the enemies. You break everything by praising the Lord. There is no mighty weapon compared to the praise and worship of the congregation of the Lord. You sing, the Lord will break. You sing, the Lord will clean. You sing, the Lord will heal. You sing, the Lord will deliver. Verse 2. Then I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. I want you to remember this word. Feared. I want to write it. Fear God above many. Many. This is a very, very beautiful verse. So everybody fear God, you know, right? Everyone fear God. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to be punished. Nobody wants to go through wrath or suffering. They just want to play safe, so that they will have their fixed monthly salary, good children, good family, perfect cycle, keeps on going. I don't want the wheel of my chariot to be broken. Nobody is asking for the chariots of the Lord, what he can send. But everybody wants their chariot to go on a smooth journey. No bumps, no wrong turn. I just want to go on straight. I want to earn more, become a millionaire, buy some property, do this, do that, live a long life and say, praise the Lord bless me with good health. Live well, don't try to live long. Now he says, he feared God above many. Many are called, few are chosen. Remember? Why above many? Everybody can fear God. They can say, I fear God. Everybody should fear him. Everything on the heaven, on the earth, even in the hell, everyone fear him. But what is the reason they fear him? Some fear for punishment. Some fear for death. But only few fear for his love. Fear for who he is. And those few are always few. That is why he feared God above many. Above many. The Lord raised the standard. He raised the standard. Many are called, few are chosen. Always few. It's always few. May the Lord bless us to be those few. Now, verse 4, 3. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. And appoint watchers of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, everyone to be over against his house. I warn you all in Jesus' name. This verse is a warning from the Lord to all of us. Read it again. And appoint watchers of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch. Not the city, not the wall. Don't try to be the savior of the whole church. He is the savior. Everyone is set upon be the watch of himself, and everyone to be over against his house. Against, not for. Against his house. This is spoken by the prophet who was appointed, ordained by Almighty to watch over the people. If anybody thinks, I am a watcher, I am a keeper of the world, remember, you are going against God. If the Lord has not spoken the word, If you yourself spoken the word for yourself, you are an abomination to God. Watchers, builders, keepers, makers, He is all in all. He decides who should be who. If the mind tells, oh, you are like this, remember serpent told the same thing. Oh, Eve, let me explain what is the tree of knowledge and evil. Be warned in the word of the Lord. Now verse 4, I finish it here. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not built there. It's a prophetical book, a prophetical verse. The city that we all dwell, the maker and the builder, our Lord and Savior, was large, but people are few. He's not going to let all the majority of the population to see Him. He will look for those minorities, very few, who diligently seek Him, even in pain, even in suffering. May the Lord guide us as we will continue this next week. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, everyone. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, that you called all of us to be a part of the new holy city, Jerusalem. The Lord who is building all of us to be the royal priesthood, built upon the chief cornerstone, the spiritual priesthood. You call all of us saints and kings, O Lord. We are not worthy. Help us, Lord, to be your workers in your field, to be the trees of righteousness, being fruitful in your vineyard. Bless us, O Lord, to always eat only the good of the land, for we are all called to live in the land of goodness. Help us, O Lord, to drink the water from the fountain of life, and to breathe from the mighty rushing wind, the Holy Ghost. And Lord, help us to run with the blood of Christ in our life. Help us to be united with the unity of the Spirit as you are continuing to work in us, to perfect us, the bond of perfectness, charity, the love. Help us to put on charity, Lord. Help us to stay together and stand together. This is our house, our family. This is your ministry, your house. And we are nothing but your children, Lord. Bless us, O Lord, let there be no breach in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For the Lord who opened the door that no man can shut it, and He shut the door that no man can open it. And we ask the Lord, our Savior, to dwell in the midst of us. For the glory of the Lord is our liberty. Surround us and shield us with the wall of fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.